RCR with Paul Brennan. Reality Check Radio.
Tech Tuesday time again because it's Tuesday. And Stephen Sykes is back with me. Hi, Stephen.
Hey, how you doing?
Not too bad. Now, normally we do the feedback, we do a bit of news, you know, what's going on in the tech world, and then we focus on a subject. Last week, you were telling us how there were those downloads going into vehicles, you know, that no one knew about.
Firmware updates.
Yeah, that's right, firmware. And, you just don't know what is in those software updates or what it means, and you informed us of that. Anyway, normally we do that. We have the feedback, we have the news, and then we sort of focus on a particular subject for the week. This week, it's your grand opus. Because apart from this little bit, me at the front, this whole thing is you. So what are we about to hear?
So I've called today a day in the life of, which is kind of misleading because it's actually only half a day. I think you'll get the gist. So what this is, it's a hard and fast story that combines many of the themes and topics we've covered on Tech Tuesday and in the previous 41 sessions.
Wow, that many.
Jeez. That many. And I've even managed to slip in one or two new themes. And as you listen, you might even pluck them out. So it combines them all into a story that could apply to anyone. So with that, I need to add a disclaimer. Any similarities this story has with those living on Passed On is entirely intentional.
Okay.
Not unintentional.
Thanks for the disclaimer.
This is on purpose.
It's more like
this
claimer, not a disclaimer. Sorry. Yes. This is on purpose, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, okay. Understood.
So to set the scene, you can imagine me in flannelette pyjamas, wearing a dressing gown, corduroy woolen lined slippers. I'm sitting in a single-seater with a high back, next to me, a roaring fire with a token coffee table and a steaming hot cup of cocoa or tea. So,
news on.
Oh no, there is no TV. There's just my sultry tones.
Okay, all right. So yeah, I can visualize that. I'm in the room with you. Okay.
Okay. Here we go. A thread of consciousness wakes you. You go into automatic mode and you roll out of bed towards the floor, reaching down with a free hand to pick up your phone and unplug it from the charger as you move. You are so good and graceful at it that you make the swan-like dancers look like they're intoxicated when they perform. You go to the ensuite and take a seat on the porcelain throne. As you wait for biological processes to kickstart, you unlock your phone. Even before you feel fully awake, a whole host of busybodies know that you are up. Your smartphone manufacturer, various apps you've installed, your phone provider, your router, your ISP, as well as intelligence agencies if you happen to be an interesting person, all know you're up. You'd think that between them all, they could have conspired to at least have organized you breakfast in bed or had your clothes out ready, neatly pressed and waiting for you when you got dressed for work. But no. All these entities know that you slept next to your spouse last night because they had their phone next to them too. Contrast to you, they turn their phone off at night to reduce EMF exposure. But since that happened just before going to bed, they know that anyway. Just like they know that your spouse got up before you because of when they turned on their phone. But never mind the privacy you lost while sitting on the toilet. The smartwatch on your wrist phoned home several times during the night with your health data plus the movements you made in bed. And speaking of movements, you check your watch to see if you exceeded the accelerometer and gyroscope limits because you got lucky last night too. The smart TV that's in your bedroom and its manufacturer know too. They heard it all. You can see for yourself when you're engaged in bedroom sport, as even though your watch congratulates you on maintaining an elevated heart rate last night while drawing a pretty graphic, it otherwise reminds you that you need to exercise even more. After reviewing your watch, you scroll through Facebook on your phone. They, too, know when you got up because as you used the app, it began feeding you data. As you scroll, you see a suggestion. It's a bit risque and it's something you wouldn't normally share with your spouse, but you momentarily pause scrolling to see it. That pause was enough, and now Facebook has decided that because you pause to look at it, that it should give you even more. Your attention is diverted by a pop-up notification from your smart fridge app, as well as an email it sent you. You don't like it when your fridge wants to talk to you. It's like being called to the headmaster's office when you were at school. You decide to read the email in the hope that the fridge manufacturer won't know. However, the email contains a tracking beacon, so the moment you open the message, they still knew exactly when and where you were when you opened it and what program you used to read your email with. You read the email from your fridge. It tells you that on average, you or someone in your house has been opening the fridge too many times in the last 7 days. It offers advice on how to plan ahead so you can reduce the need to open the fridge door, and that by opening the door too many times, you are contributing to climate change, and along with a frowny face, it shows you a scary graphic to nudge your behavior to make you feel bad. The fridge warns you that if you do not reduce your average, it may refuse to open the door when you want or report your rebellious activities. Great, just what you don't need. More points taken from your social credit score. After the morning evacuation is completed, you shower and then brush your teeth with an electric toothbrush. An app on your phone tells you that you haven't been doing this often or for long enough. Unfortunately, you overslept this morning and your spouse has already left for work. You go to the kitchen to have a coffee where you open a new carton of soy milk as you are mindful of the negative impact of extracting the already opened carton from your tyrannical fridge. You've long lost the taste of regular milk from your taste buds because someone said that cow flatulence is bad for the climate and only those who have the money can buy it. And that's not you anymore. You notice you are out of sugar, so you decide to ask your neighbor if they have some spare. Standing outside their door, you notice something unusual. There's a camera looking at you. When she opens the door, she explains it's a smart doorbell. It's hard to tell if it's a Ring camera or something else. If it's a Ring camera, then Ring employees will probably review the footage of you at the door in order to tag objects manually in an effort to train software in performing facial recognition tasks for their AI. The video footage, stored unencrypted, makes them very vulnerable to theft. Or if it's a Google Nest, they already have facial recognition, and you've heard that in some cities around the world, the police want to register and even subsidize private security cameras. So it's anyone's guess where the footage from smart door cameras really ends up or what it will be used for in the future. Then there's the security flaws inherent in smart doorbells. Who's going to go around doing software patching on those? As it turns out, your neighbor doesn't have sugar. Or maybe she doesn't want to give you any because of the way you sneered at her camera, so it's just the soy milk and coffee for now. It's a nippy winter's morning, and as you make your way to the TV, you turn on the heat pump and crank up the temperature, except it won't go past 12 degrees. Then you remember the deal you accepted with your power company to accept a nice rebate if they could control your heat pump. After all, with the cost of living, every cent counts, and it's been in the news lately about the need to conserve electricity. Apparently, there's a risk of not having enough. You turn on the TV, a smart TV, of course, to distract you from your coffee's bitter taste. Your favourite show is on, a guilty pleasure you'd never admit to watching. Your phone rings, and it's your spouse. Why are you still home? How did you know, you ask? My phone is connected to our smart meter. I could see you were using electricity. Well, I slept in, you say. Your spouse is not convinced by your explanation, but due to a meeting about to start, they need to end the call. You wonder whether this is the first time you've been spied on through your smart meter. If your spouse can tell you home, then surely your power company can too. After all, they are notoriously insecure devices and are prone to being hacked, to the point where they can tell what TV channel you're watching. If a criminal can tell when there's no one home, then they know when to rob the place. You did, after all, learn the hard way about posting family holiday photos on Facebook, only to come home to an empty house. Then there's the data itself held by power companies and whatever third party is doing analytics on it. Hell, if your fridge is tracking you. Your teenage son comes home from an early morning run as his classes start later on. He wants to talk to you about something sensitive. Maybe it's a problem related to drugs. Might be sex or bullying at school. You don't turn off the TV, but it remains on mute, playing images in the background. Your smart TV is collecting information via a technology called automatic content recognition. It's been analyzing everything you've been watching on TV and shares it with the TV manufacturer and a bunch of third parties. Researchers had found that one smart TV made by Samsung had connected to more than 700 distinct internet addresses after being used for 15 minutes. Like almost everyone else, you don't read privacy policies. If you had, you'd have come across the warning that says, Please be aware that if your spoken words include personal or other sensitive information, that information will be among the data captured and transmitted to a third party. After your son has shared his intimate thoughts with you, your TV manufacturer, and hundreds of unknown third parties, he leaves for school. Well, he will be surveilled through the school surveillance and his internet use. Not to mention the insidious tie in his school, along with all the others in the country, have with Google for email and documents. You unmute the TV and commercials are on. You think you'll get a moment of privacy, but you won't. You're unaware of it, but inaudible sound beacons are being broadcast via those commercials and are being picked up by your phone. The audio beacons function like sound cookies that allow businesses to triangulate devices and purchasing habits through location. In other words, track you across different locations. You get another call. This time it's a colleague from work. Hey, I'm not sure how this happened, but I was just emailed a recording of a sensitive conversation you were having with your son. It seems to have come from your Alexa assistant. You are so furious by this. You thank your colleague for the call and then phone Amazon. A representative tells you, Echo probably woke up to a word during your conversation that sounded like Alexa. Then it thought you said, send message. It must have asked, to whom? And whatever you were saying at the time, it interpreted as a name. Unhappy with this alleged justification, you throw the Echo against the wall, destroying it. Your spouse will not be amused. You are really late for work now. You get in the car and start it. The screen in the center of the car lights up. You sneer at the screen as a firmware update on the head unit the other week changed the interface layout, and you're still getting to grips with finding functions. A synthetic but natural-sounding voice greets you good morning and asks how your weight loss efforts are progressing. Your car, after all, knows it's you in the vehicle because only your phone is there, your backside is in the driver's seat, and the camera that's looking at you identifies your face. Apart from the coffee you've recently had, you do not appear to be on drugs or drunk. You're allowed to drive. If you thought your car scrutinizing you and nudging you to lose weight was rude, the real kicker is that because you got your car secondhand from an acquaintance, that person has access to your data because they never disconnect their phone from the car app. And let us not forget, the car manufacturer also has access to that data too, along with where you live, the locations you visit, the speed you drive, the music you like, eye movements, and where your hands are on the steering wheel. People with older cars may not have the same level of intrusion, but you heard not so long ago that the government is considering replacing windscreen registration cards with GPS-based devices as they want to apply road user charges to all vehicles. Not only will they have granular access to the mileage the vehicle does, but if implemented, it will be another way to know where the vehicle is at all times, depending on the capabilities of the hardware. Finally, you're on your way to work. As you drive, you're further monitored. The MAC address of the sensors that make up the tire pressure monitoring system in your car's wheels are recorded as you pass over a bridge and drive through controlled intersections. Additionally, the MAC address of your phone and car's Wi-Fi is also recorded. Your real-time existence is noticed by cell towers and traffic cameras as they check your WAF and registration are current. One time you overlook paying your rego and a few days later a fine arrived in the mail with a photo of you driving. As a free bonus, they treated you with a deduction of social credit points. With CBDCs, you probably wouldn't have received a fine. It would have automatically taken from your account. To add insult to injury, you agreed to allow your vehicle insurance company to spy on you. You have their app on your phone which monitors your driving, and if you're good and a careful driver, they'll give you a reduction in premiums. Why don't they just ask Santa Claus? He knows if you're naughty or nice anyway. Part of your journey includes driving alongside a bus lane. You figure that as you approach the traffic lights, you can drive a little more than the speed limit and zip into the bus lane to get you ahead of other traffic. If you can make the lights, perhaps you can make up some time. However, your car has other ideas. Due to that head unit firmware upgrade, which included updated maps and activation of geolocation, coupled with a forward-facing camera reading the speed sign further back up the road, it refuses your desire to accelerate, and the dashboard tells you speeding is not acceptable. You gulp, hoping the intention won't result in a social credit deduction or frowned upon by the insurance company. Instead, you make a turn to drive into the bus lane. After all, you don't need to drive in it for very far. Your car forbids your heathen intention as well, but refusing to go into the bus lane and advises you of it. The car, too, can tell a bus lane when it sees one. Making a forced retreat, you line up with other vehicles at the lights, and as you know the route to work very well, you've been driving in a zoned-out automatic mode. You're shocked into being fully awake by a miniature thud on the windscreen in front of you. Your eyes focus towards the dot that caused the disturbance to see that a bumblebee crashed and died on your windscreen. Poor bugger. As you focus on the window again in the distance, you notice a new structure. Even though it's been intentionally disguised in an attempt to make it aesthetically pleasing and therefore acceptable, you can make out that hidden within is a 5G tower. How long has that been there for, you wonder? You've heard about bees and other insects disappearing and their likely correlation with the electromagnetic smog that is so proliferant these days. As you continue to wait at the lights, you see pedestrians cross. From up high, cameras peer down and scrutinize and judge them as though they were ants. Not only are they being identified with a high percentage score that they are indeed human, they are being counted along with their gait or unique style of walking. They better not jaywalk or they'll find themselves automatically fined. Another part of your journey to work takes you past the buildings of a government department. You can't tell, but there are fake cell phone towers nearby that trick mobile phones into connecting to them. Once a phone connects to one of these IMSI catchers, it collects identification and location data and allows eavesdropping on phone calls, regular text messages, and web browsing. It's a useful tool for determining who attends protests, and it's popular advice to leave your phone behind when attending this kind of event. Although the stingrays are typically used by governments, they can be used by anyone and can be built at home. Conveniently, there's a car park close to your work. As you enter, a camera that has the ability to read license plates scans your vehicle and opens the barrier arm, allowing you entry. You appreciate the fact that you don't have to stop to take a ticket out of the machine because it saves you precious seconds since you're late. However, you're unaware that because of the poor design of the system, your vehicle data is stored unencrypted. The tax department are keen on the data as they use the information stored by the ticketing system to see who's been parking company vehicles late at night. It's used to determine undeclared mileage for improper use of company-owned vehicles when it's used outside of office hours to attend personal events. There is, after all, a concert hall nearby. While data is being sucked from your phone as you arrive at work and enter your office, a colleague gives you an uncomfortable stare indicating their dissatisfaction with your tardiness. You sit in front of your computer, take a breath in your attempt to relax in your seat. Then you see the sight of many, many unread emails. You open the email from your boss, which asks you to fill in an anonymous survey, which is an evaluation of your co-workers. Your boss is a strong supporter of surveillance at work. You know he tracks your every movement, keeping an eye on whether or not you attend meetings, seminars, and informal social events like dinner and drinks. You've even received warnings from him about posting political content on social media channels. Being asked to give alleged anonymous content on co-workers makes you feel unwell. The next email is from your brother. He has used your work address even though you've said not to. Your boss has access to your email just like he does everyone else in the office. Your brother says he has received the genetic testing kit as a present and went ahead and got himself tested. He's excited to tell you that your family is 40% Italian. The bad news is he has a 30% chance of getting heart disease and, since he's your brother, he feels the need to tell you since it may apply to you too. You send a quick reply to him saying, I wish you'd ask for my consent about this. They're my genes too and those of my children. Didn't you know our grandmother was Italian? If you wanted to know these kinds of things, just ask me. Worried about all of this, you go ahead and read the privacy policy of the company your brother used. It reads like a horror story. They claim ownership of the DNA sample they were sent and can use it however they want. You wonder if this genetic data will one day be used against you or your children when you apply for insurance. Will you have to pay a higher premium? Will it affect their chances in getting a job? Was the DNA testing kit even accurate? And will you and your children be falsely punished based upon bad data? A calendar notification pops up to compete for your attention. It's time for a conference call using Zoom. Before lockdowns and remote working became a thing, many people had never heard of Zoom. Next minute, it became the most popular video conferencing platform. While you were imprisoned in your own home, you were horrified to learn of the screeds of data Zoom collected on you, which include your name, physical location, email address, job title, employer, IP address, and more. You also heard that Zoom had improved its privacy and security policies, but how can you trust a company that claimed to implement end-to-end encryption when it really didn't? It's time for lunch, and that coffee you had earlier certainly was not filling. There's a more nearby, so you go there to find something to eat and then buy yourself a new shirt. Online shops have for a while collected a bunch of data from their users, and physical shops have been trying to play catch-up. As you walk into the mall, you're surveilled. Technology installed in the mall recognizes you as a return shopper based on your phone's Wi-Fi MAC address that's broadcast when your phone searches for nearby networks to use. As you move through the mall, the strength of the signal at different Wi-Fi access points indicates your position. Even if you turned off your phone's Wi-Fi signal, there are cameras mounted and large floor-mounted advertising billboards checking you out. As you approach one of these, it starts displaying advertisements for a nearby gym, diet supplements, and the like. What the actual hell? Three times today, technology has reminded you that you're not an athlete. You're self-conscious about being out of the office for too long since you were late. You head to the supermarket in the mall to get something light to eat. As you enter, cameras using facial recognition give you the once-over. Momentarily pause as you enter, as you remembered hearing about in the news how these cameras misidentified an innocent person for an actual shoplifter. Due to a security guard on a power trip, that innocent person was unfairly treated and harassed because no one thought to question whether or not the algorithm was wrong. But hang on, there's something else now. You notice the screen showing your outline filling with color. Yes, it's a thermograph showing you a heat map of your body, something like Predator would see. As you glance at the screen, you notice some of the parts are warmer than others. While these are used as an excuse to detect who is deemed sick and who isn't, you wonder what sicko is also watching the video feed, noticing the warmer parts of your body too. You grab a muesli bar off the shelf and then head for the fridges to get a drink. While the fridge doors still have glass in them, you can't see what's inside until you approach. Instead, the glass is part of the screen that makes up the door. That's right, the front of the fridge doors are now large screens in portrait mode, showing you what's inside the fridge. To open it, you wave your hand at a sensor to get to the fridge's attention and then speak into the microphone asking it to open. Upon recognizing your voice from various other sources, the fact that you have enough social credit and that you rolled up your sleeve for the latest and greatest syringe of George's Marvelous's medicine, you're allowed product and the door unlocks and opens. It seems to you that the rising of the machines isn't what the movies made it out to be. It's tyrannical lean mean cooling machines instead. Unfortunately, you didn't stop to get cash out, and so you pay with your phone. Your purchase is linked to your bank's app on the phone as real-time scrutinized to decide what kind of climate impact your selfish action of wanting to eat has made. How will this affect your social score, you wonder? Your ability to buy anything in the future? Will your sins be paid for by your children? Paying with your FBOS card, however, wouldn't have changed anything, though. The supermarket and your bank are in cahoots with each other, and your purchase was still monitored by your bank, not to mention the camera staring you point blank in the face at the self-checkout kiosk. You leave the supermarket and eat while walking. A notification on your phone reminds you about a doctor's appointment. There's a problem that's been bothering you that hasn't gone away. You've done some searching online trying to find out more about it and a solution. To avoid causing unnecessary concern, you haven't talked about it with your family. The search engine, however, knows more about your health issues than your family or spouse does. As you sit in the waiting room at the doctor's, a notification pops up. Your sister has posted the latest baby photo on Facebook. Her cuteness makes you smile. You make a mental note to warn your sister about the dangers of exposing her kids online, coupled with the fact that a child's right to privacy has been stolen from them before they can even speak words, simply because parents want the world to know their kid is the best. You've heard that online photographs are being used to train facial recognition algorithms that are used for all sorts of nefarious purposes, from the surveillance of vulnerable populations by authoritarian regimes to outing pornography actors and identifying strangers on the subway in Russia. Those thoughts are distracted by the irresistible smile. Pictures of your sister's baby can be the highlight of your day and the kind of thing that makes the data economy bearable, even when you know that engaging in such content, such as cute babies, is precisely what the data vultures feed upon. There's a call out for your name to see the doctor. As you sit in the consulting room, you're asked a bunch of sensitive questions and they record the answer on a computer and then schedule some tests for you. You begin to wonder, will my medical data end up somewhere I don't want it to be? It's not unusual for your data to be up for sale. Data brokers can often acquire medical data from doctors' offices, health apps like your smartwatch, hospitals, pharmacies, and internet searches. Will that medical data be used against you one day soon that results in higher insurance premiums or prospective employers? Where is my data being stored? You remember that in 2019, the University of Chicago and Google were sued. The potential class action lawsuit accused the hospital of sharing hundreds of thousands of patient records with Google without deleting identifiable date stamps or doctor's notes. Google was accused of unjust enrichment. Will your data one day be part of a data breach? After all, in 2015, over 112 million health records were breached in the USA alone. Will you become a victim of extortion, like what happened in 2017 where criminals got access to medical records from a clinic and blackmailed patients who ended up publishing thousands of private photos, including nude ones, and personal data, including passport scans and national insurance numbers? Thinking more about data brokers, they mislead the public when they claim data is anonymized. Personal data is their trade, after all. They collect all kinds of extremely sensitive information, package it up, and sell it to banks, insurers, retailers, telecoms, media companies, governments, and from time to time, criminals. Data can include how much money you make, whether you're pregnant or not, divorced, or trying to lose weight. They have been known to sell lists of rape victims, AIDS patients, and other invasive categories, as reported by CNN in 2013. And thinking about all of this, you're tempted to lie to your doctor about the sensitive information, hoping that it won't result in a misdiagnosis. You're even thinking about not getting the prescribed test done at all, even though you may need them. You return to the office. A swarm of questions begin to enter your mind, and you wonder just what data big tech companies have on you. You download the data that Google and Facebook have on you. Horrified at the level of intrusion, you discover that Google still has data on you that you thought you'd deleted. You go and change all your privacy settings to minimize data collection. As you review the settings, you find that the defaults are all set to undermine your privacy. Although some of these can be changed, if you do not consent to some data collection, you cannot use the services provided to you by the tech giants. The terms and conditions offer no wiggle room, and of course, they can change at any time without you being told. You are being bullied. Not consenting is starting to look like a necessity. That thought is preceded with another one like it. It occurs to you that in many ways you are being treated like a criminal suspect with the level of intrusion that you're being subject to, the geo-tracking as if you had an ankle bracelet on, and just how subtle the intrusion is. Like the air you breathe, you can't see it, but you know that it's there. In some ways, this is all worse than being a criminal suspect. The police afford such people with the right to remain silent and warn you that anything you say may be used against you. Being waist-deep in technology that you're not by default offered the right to remain silent, and the only reminder that your data can and will be used against you is hidden in privacy policies and terms and conditions that you don't read. Even if you did read them, you might think you understand them, but due to legal semantics, you actually don't. Your deliberation is interrupted by a call from your spouse. You were right. That smashed echo wasn't going to go down well. Despite last night's bedroom sports, things haven't been great between you for a while. You wish you had the serenity to say calmly what had happened, but you feel defeated. It's been one of those days, one of those days of epiphanies. Your silence causes an escalation in the emotional distress of your spouse feels, and then you're hit with information that you didn't see coming. I'm sorry, I wish we were face to face, but I can't take our situation any longer. I would like a divorce. We'll talk about the details when you get home. In a state of shock, you decide to listen to some music to try and calm yourself. You get your phone out, plug in your headphones, and open the Spotify app. The first ad that comes up is for a divorce lawyer. Surely that can't be coincidence. How did they know, whoever they are? Maybe it was your spouse's online searches relating to a divorce. Or perhaps it was recordings and analysis taken from either of your phones, your now-destroyed Echo or smart TVs, or maybe some predictive algorithm that guessed your impending doom based upon how little time you've spent with your family lately. Maybe it was Spotify analysing your mood based on your music choices. After all, even bankers are gauging public mood by looking at data from Spotify. You may never know how they got that information, whoever they are, and if they knew before you did. Much like how in 2012, Target knew a father's daughter was pregnant before he did, whatever the case may be, you didn't tell them, and they do not have a right to eavesdrop on your most intimate relationships. You play Pink Floyd, Wish You Were Here, as you find the acoustics of the guitar solo very soothing. You are drawn into the lyrics. So you think you can tell. Heaven from hell, blue skies from pain. Can you tell a green field from a cold steel rail? A smile from a veil. Do you think you can tell? Did they get you to trade your heroes for ghosts? Hot ashes for trees. Hot air for a cool breeze. Cold comfort for change. Did you exchange a walk-on part in the war for a lead role in a cage? The song continues, but it's drowned out by your internal monologue. The last rhetorical question in those lyrics hits you, and the lifting of the veil completes. Even though you have eyes, it feels like you're using them for the first time, because suddenly you see. You get it now. You are in a cage that you cannot touch, smell, or see. Can I go and do what I want? Or is it afforded to me by the good graces of those in power? Surely they wouldn't do evil, would they? Why am I being monitored, surveilled, and controlled to ensure I live according to their rules in my 15-minute city? Why am I so important? Why, when those around me pushed back on the system of control, I thought they were nuts, stood at the sidelines, laughed, and did nothing? You are tempted to think that if an alien task force comes to Earth, you hope it's a rescue mission and that you're on the list. It'd be fine to leave this world behind one day. You're only sorry that your son has to cope with a dystopian paradigm full of privacy issues from such a young age, rather than letting him be a kid. How worse for him could things get, you wonder? As you ponder your mortality, you realize that your privacy would not stop with your death or wishful abduction. Your digital representation will continue to live in the digital realm, causing influences in the physical one. Vultures will keep living off the trail of data you leave behind you. Perhaps, too, that data will affect your son and his potential family in the way they are judged, scrutinized, and put in boxes. You wonder if there's anything you could do to clean up this oppressive data mess. You realize there is. As indicated by the Matrix documentary, the problem is choice. You have been choosing crappy technology that was pushed onto you through product placement, massive advertising budgets, and social acceptance. After all, most people don't want to be seen to not be fitting in. Now begins your journey into scrutinizing the digital everything, asking hard questions of those in power and telling them, I do not consent and I will not play your game your way.
Wow. Stephen, that was wow. Crikey. I'm almost off the chair. The cage. Yeah. Well, I think you've covered it all.
Well, I haven't.
There's more. But wait, there's more.
Well, there could be more. But there's so many ways that stuff like this happens. And this is a sample of stuff. And I think it will cover quite a lot of things that apply to everybody. There's other nuances that, you know, can come into effect. And everything I've said has already happened or is very close to happening.
Yeah. Gee. Okay. Well, I think people need some bit of time to process all that.
I had to speak fast to fit it all in. So,
no, well, I got it all. And that's just one day.
Yeah.
One day. The divorce was a bit rough, I've got to say.
It was a bit rough. But
yeah,
the fact that, you know, other other companies know or can predict, perceive this kind of thing before you're aware of it.
Yeah. I do remember that story about the Target finding out about the daughter's pregnancy before the father.
Yeah, that's a popular one, that one.
Yeah. All right. Well, I think we should play "Wish You Were Here." That was a 1975 album. How long ago is that now? Do the mathematics on that. 25.
48.
Yeah, coming up 50 years.
Yeah.
And, wow, those lyrics, eh?
It was about the band member that left, Sid.
Sid Barrett, yeah.
Sid Barrett, yeah. But, of course, those words have other applications as well.
What was it? Cold comfort, exchanging cold comfort for what is it?
Cold comfort for change.
Yeah.
Did you exchange a walk-on part in the war for lead role in the cage? So a walk-on part in the war means did you get involved or did you just accept being controlled and imprisonment by having the lead role in a cage?
So accurate for right now. All right. Okay. Well, let's play "Wish You Were Here." Stephen, that was excellent. Look forward to doing another Tech Tuesday in a week.
See you then.
Loving what you're hearing? Well, the establishment hates it. And right now, they're conjuring up new ways to try and censor RCR. To ensure you never miss a beat of the hard-hitting news you've come to know and love, make sure you're on the RCR mailing list. Get connected now at realitycheck.radio/email.